To the hotline we go. And by the way, you can always text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line at 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. We've got Pitt legend Jimbo Covert on the hotline. Jimbo, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
We're doing real well. And first thing we wanted to ask you about, actually, is Pat Narduzzi. 7-year contract extension, and you played a role, obviously, in just the discussions surrounding this, correct? Can you shed a little bit of light on, just in general, how everything went with that?
Well, I think it shows that you know, we really need stability around the program, and that's what we've been hoping for. And I know that that the administration, Heather Lake and Pat Gallagher, really would like that as well. And, you know, in the past we've had issues and we're trying to avoid those. I think Pat Narduzzi has done an excellent job here. We wanted to see him retained and stay for as long as we could keep him, because we think that that's the key to building a successful program is having stability at the head coach position. And that was the goal. So I think we achieved that. And this past year was some challenges. I think that Pat did the best he could, and I'm looking for good things in the future.
I've got a couple questions in the realm of that word stability, Jimbo, that I wanted to ask you. And one is just how tough is it in this day and age in college football to hold on to stability like that, outside of those couple of programs, for like an Alabama, where you know Nick Saban isn't going to go anywhere unless it's the NFL, for example. How tough is it in this day and age, and how different, if at all, is the landscape in that regard to when you were playing at Pitt?
I think it's probably much harder now. Guys jumping around, and I think the money is all. I think Coach Sherrill left for Texas A&M for like $250,000, right? So, I mean, it's not even relative anymore to get into that realm. So, excuse me. So I think that it's very difficult to keep coaches around, especially the amount of money that's in college sports and obviously the NFL. So anytime that you can try to lock a guy up, and I know that he's essentially not locked up, they could go somewhere else if they wanted to, but you try to put things in there that'll prevent other teams from coming in and just grabbing somebody, and I think we accomplished that. So, you know, anytime you try to build a program, the most important thing is keeping the head coach around, and that's what we try to do.
Jimbo, when you say you put other things in there to hopefully ward off other schools, I mean, one thing that a lot of people do is a prohibitive buyout. What are other things that one could do to keep other schools away?
Well, I think just trying to do things in the program that Pat needs to be successful, and you know, just from a budgeting perspective or budget for coaches, you know, the facilities that we have, pretty state of the art. Anything we can do around recruiting budgets or anything around the program for the kids to make them more attractive to recruit here, you know, the things you need to do. And I know that Heather and Pat have talked about those things, and, they have some ideas. And I think when you look at other programs like the Alabamas and SEC schools and other things, other places that have those types of assets, so to speak, that's what we're trying to do here at Pitt. So, you know, it's not always about the money, but it is about the money. But at the end of the day, I think when you're trying to get good kids in here and recruit, you have to be, you know, it's an arms race to a certain extent from a facilities perspective, and you have to have that, and we're trying to get to that.
We're talking to former Pitt great, Chicago Bears great, Jimbo Covert. And Jimbo, I don't know if you saw Mike Mitchell's comments, I think it was yesterday, but he basically said that, you know, receivers – have free reign. You can't hit anybody anymore. The game's not as physical as it should be. When I look at Antonio Brown, I tend to disagree. I think the game is still plenty physical and receivers still get hit. You played on a team with one of the great defenses of all time. Has the game changed appreciably since then as far as physicality?
I don't think the game's changed. I think there's still incredible athletes on both sides of the ball, and you know, some of those cats are running pretty fast. I mean, and they can get after it. And, they're going to hit you, and they're going to hit you hard. I remember, I think it was 86, when Otis Wilson hit Lewis Lips coming across the middle. It was a pretty savage hit. And I think, you know, Otis got suspended for one game. Today, it'd probably be five games. You know, so, you know, I know they try to protect the quarterback, and they've successfully done that to a certain extent. And now looks at the receivers, and I agree with Mike. I think that, you know, it's just hard as a defensive player to take the foot off the accelerator when you're in full mode contact, and you just can't do that. And to pull back like that, you end up getting hurt yourself. And those kind of things happen all the time. You're seeing guys twist ankles, guys hurt knees because they're trying to pull back, and you can't do that playing football. I mean, it's you know, it's full metal. So I mean, it's difficult to do that. And I think and then the fining of the whole thing is getting inconsistent as well. So you see some fines for things that you believe shouldn't have been as bad, and other things the other way. So yeah, I think it gets frustrating for the defensive players. I don't blame them.
Jimbo, what impact, if any, do you think that the improved technology, at least in theory, helmet technology for safety purposes, has in all of this? Because it would stand to reason to me that if a player thinks he'll be safer because he's got a much fancier helmet with better shock absorption or whatever, that he'll throw his body around even more recklessly in pursuit of doing his job.
Well, that's a good question. I don't think the technology is going to have anything to do with it. I think it's more coaching. And I think you're going to see it up through, you know, Pop Warner, midget football, junior high, high school, when they're trying to teach kids to hit more with their shoulders. But this game is made to, you know, put your face on. So, you know, I mean, you get your face and you square up on guys and you hit people. That's what you do. So when you're taught that way to lead with your face, I mean, that's the first thing you're going to get hit is the helmet. So I think you can put all the technology in the world to get out there and make helmets better. But when you got guys running that fast, And you know, I mean, from a physics perspective, right? I mean, the impact is pretty big. So I don't think helmet technology is going to help that.
Couple more minutes with Pitt and Bears and Freedom High School legend Jimbo Covert here on The Fan. Do you think the product overall in the NFL is still pretty good? How would you kind of rate it against, I don't know, when you played, for example? Is it better, worse, the same as far as entertainment value and quality?
Oh, I think it's all of the above. I think it's just as good or better. I think some things, as just being an offensive lineman, that frustrate me a little bit. I mean, you see, I think techniques are a lot worse now. I think that when you look at offensive linemen, they don't really run point of attack plays anymore. You know, they're not running it in the 5-hole or the 4-hole. You know, they're running these stretch plays, and they just get five big guys, and they try to, you know, move forward and get softness and have the running back kind of pick his hole and move forward. A lot of times it's not a design play to a certain side. I mean, it's just like left side run, right side dive, left side dive. I mean, we ran a lot of traps, you know, a lot of point of attack plays. And if you didn't run it in that hole, you weren't getting anywhere. Right. So it's just different now. And I think, on pass protection, it's a little frustrating too. I think, you know, they're making all this stuff about kick steps for left tackles and right tackles. I mean, just slide out and block the guy. You know, I mean, you don't have to do, I mean, you're doing this kick step and you're, you know, by the time you get back there and you make contact with the guy, you know, it's already 2 or 3 yards, 4 yards. I mean, you're letting guys bull rush you, you're letting guys come inside on you. So it gets a little frustrating, but I know that, you know, there's some guys that are still coached pretty well.
Last question for Jimbo Covert. I loved Walter Payton when I was a kid, Jimbo. Not that, yeah. I mean, I'm not that much younger than you, actually.
Well, you had a good role model.
Man, I'm curious what it was like to block for that guy and what he was like as a person.
Oh, he's an amazing person. I just had the opportunity to play with him for 5 or 6 years, and I was in awe of him. I mean, he was the most incredible athlete I've ever been around. I mean, he could do things on the field that not too many people could do, and he did it for 13 years and missed one game. I mean, he could throw, he could catch, and but just a tough, you know, football player. I think the greatest football player that ever lived, and I say football player too, not running back, because he did so many things, and he was the ultimate team player, and his teammates loved him. And when that happens, you know that's the guy you want to be around and the guy you can win with. And he was just an incredible person.
Regretful that he didn't get a chance to score a touchdown in that Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think it is. But you know what? At the time, we weren't even thinking about that. I mean, you know, if all the guys in the huddle would have thought about, hey, let's give Walt the ball. But at the end of the day, their whole defense was, you know, hey, let's just stop Walter Payton. I mean, you can see that when, you know, we'd run a play action and it was a sweep and half the team would be going over there and then Willie would be running wide open down the middle of the field. So, you know, it was just difficult for him and he was disappointed. I know Mike Ditka was disappointed. He said it was a regret of his. But you know what? At the time, you don't think about those things. And then in retrospect, you say, you know, we would have done anything to get him the football, but we just, you know, just didn't happen. And it's unfortunate.
Jimbo Covert, Pitt legend, of course, and we appreciate you taking some time with
us today,
man.
You got it, guys. Have a good night.